Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
I want to ask you today, is my praise based on what I receive in return from the King? Or is my praise coming out of my mouth because I'm standing in the presence of the King? Our God is worthy of our praise, and I believe we're going to receive today a revelation that when we praise God with a pure heart, because He is the King, we're going to receive the promises that He has promised to us, yes, but we're going to receive so much more than that. We can actually see a legacy from our praise where other people can be blessed as well. That's why this message is called My Praise is Legacy. King David had a revelation about praise, who he was praising and why he was praising. And that resulted in not only himself being blessed, but it created a legacy that blessed the whole nation. It blessed the whole nation. I think we can get excited about that. It blessed the whole nation. But first off, he had to understand why he was praising God. You turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel 6, 3 to 12. We're going Old Testament today, church. Everyone say Old Testament. 2 Samuel 6, 3 to 12. And bear with me here. This verse has some challenging names in it. Challenging names. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzziah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzziah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the ark of God. Welcome to church, everyone. Welcome to church. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. In verse 12, now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything that he has because of the ark of God." So David went up to bring the ark of God from the house of Obed to the city of David with rejoicing. Have you ever had a time in your life where you have been on top of the world and crashed down to earth like that? Click of your fingers. I definitely have. When I used to play football when I was under 18s in school, my last name is Forward, for those who don't know, but it's not just a last name, it's a lifestyle, all right? So I was in the forward line and I was, a bit of a handy player, a bit of a handy sportsman. And we were playing our annual game against this other school, which was the biggest game of the year for all the high schoolers. And I kicked a couple of goals, feeling pretty good about myself, getting a bit of that swagger on, kicking a few goals. And the ball, in the last quarter, the ball came into the forward 50 where I was, right in front of the goals, right where the lines are. I marked the ball. No one's on me. I'm like, this is my moment to shine. This is like, pool room moment. There's going to be a photo here. You're going to put it up there. I turn around. I kick it as hard as I can through the post. And then I start cheering. I'm like, flexing muscles, doing like the double cobras, all that stuff. And I think that everyone is going to be up and about for me. But I turn around and my teammates and all the team on the other side as well, I just hunched over laughing at me. And I look over where I kicked the ball, and I thought I was in front of where the goals were. I was actually in front of where the point posts were, and I kicked it as hard as I could through the point posts, and I only got 1 point instead of six, and I looked like a goose. Let me tell you, I crashed down to earth pretty quickly after that. I've learned so many life lessons through that. You can apply it to so many things. But as much like David, he came crashing down to earth when Uzziah died. You see, in 2 Samuel here, a few chapters before this, David has just been made king of all of Israel. He's just been anointed king. And the first things that he does, he goes and conquers Jerusalem. Tick, got that one. Big win on the board straight away. The next thing he does is that he defeats the Philistines, who the Israelites have been fighting for so many years. Tick, another win on the board. And not only that, he gets back from the Philistines the Ark of the Covenant, which is their most prized possession. The Ark is where God's presence dwells. This was holy. So David starts off his kingship kicking some goals. They started their journey taking the Ark to Jerusalem and they trip up. This man Uzziah reaches out to save the Ark from falling, touches it, and is killed by God. So like I said, the ark is holy. It's where God's presence dwelt. And God had given the Israelites these specific rules to follow when carrying the ark. But this was just for them to understand and never forget what the ark was and what they were carrying. They were carrying the presence of God and it was holy. So David goes from being the big dog, right? Goes from being the big dog to being afraid and scared to even be in possession of the presence. He crashed down to earth pretty quickly. David literally, and I love reading this, is that in the scripture, David sees this happen to Hosea and he literally like gets scared and just like drops it off at the nearest person's house and like runs away. That's literally what he does. He just drops it off. But this man Obed is not just an ordinary man. And the ark is at his house. And God's presence blesses him and his entire household. Theologians say that this man Obed, he wasn't actually a rich man. He was poor. But God blessed him so much and increased his estate so much that King David, the richest man in all of the kingdom, saw that Obed was now wealthy because of God. He noticed. So church, why do we see God kill one man and bless another in such a short period of time? And what revelation does David have that takes him from being so afraid in a moment to dancing for joy in the streets and praising God? David's crashing down to earth, which led to Hosea being killed, started well before the people gathered and were dancing together. It started in David's heart. It started in his heart. But then we see a different David after the ark was with Obed, because God blessed Obed but killed Uzziah. And David was here both times. He saw it all happen before him and he saw the legacy of praise of Obed compared to the mistakes that Uzziah made. So I'm sure we can, in this place, I can ask you, is that we would rather be Obed than Hosea, right? Come on, we can rather be Obed than Hosea. We want the promises of God. We want the blessings of God. But maybe Obed's praise was more about praising the king and the outpouring of his love for him than the blessing that he might get from God. David discovers something through this passage that changes his whole purpose, changes his whole perspective on what praising God means. And it results in him achieving and seeing come to pass what he was believing for in taking the ark to Jerusalem. But he gets so much more than that. So much more than he ever believed for. So much more than he ever was believing God for and had faith for. So church today, God wants to do the same for you. The same revelation that David received is the same revelation that he wants you to receive today. He does. And this is a revelation of why we praise the King. And how that can not only bless our circumstance, but so much more than that. So how did David get there and what did he learn and what does it mean for us? Because like I said, I know, and I'm sure there is so many prayer requests in this place sitting right here. So many valleys that people are walking through, times of lack, times of just believing for God and holding on to your faith. You need breakthroughs, you need miracles. But how do we praise the King and see the blessing that Obed received? And get the same revelation like David did? How do we receive that in our own life? Well, the first thing that David did is that he took off his spiritual sweatpants. Took off his spiritual sweatpants. I'm sure we got all our favorite pair of trackies at home that we put on when we're comfortable. But you know, as people do, when I first started dating Em, you know, when you first start dating someone, you want to impress them, right? You want to, you want to win them over. You want them to like you. You want to impress them. So you go on your first date and you dress to the nines. You put on your best shirt, don't you, Pastor Tony? You put on your best shirt. I'd love to see your best shirt. It's probably like a satin one, isn't it? Yeah, maybe velvet. Beautiful. Beautiful. A velvet shirt. You put on your best shirt. And I did when I went on my first date with Em. I'm sure she said, man, that's a really good looking shirt. This guy knows how to dress. Then you go out for your second date and you want to make another impression. So you wear your next best shirt, you dress up again, you wear your best clothes. And then by the third date, Em realized, okay, he's got two shirts. He's got two shirts because he wore the same one again. But the reason that you put in effort with someone is because you love them. You want to put in effort for them. But then as relationships go, when you get married and you move in together, you know, you get comfortable with each other, which is good because you're growing closer. And you know, some nights you start putting on those track pants, you start putting on the sweatpants, maybe that older hoodie with a couple of holes in it, maybe that t-shirt that you love that's got a stain on it, but you don't want to throw it away because it's a good t-shirt, you don't want to throw it away yet. But what happens is that you can easily slip into putting on those clothes every single night. That, like I said, being comfortable is good, but if we're too comfortable every single night, we lose our perspective on the blessing that my wife is in my life. We lose the perspective of the honor that my wife is, that I have to be her husband. We lose that perspective when we become too comfortable. David and Hosea were wearing their spiritual sweatpants for way too long around God. You see, Hosea's dad, he was actually tasked with looking after the ark, looking after the presence of God. So it was sitting in Hosea's house time after time. They were tasked to look after it, and they did. Then we see David wants to take the ark to Jerusalem. So Hosea moves the ark on David's orders. The scripture says that they set the ark on a new cart. Bam! First thing they did wrong. The very first thing that they did wrong. They put the ark on a new cart, which was disobedience to God's instruction. The ark was meant to be carried on their shoulders, not easily pushed and made easy. They were meant to feel the weight. They were meant to feel the meaning behind it, carry it with them where they went. But Hosea put on wheels and made easy what was meant to be a righteous burden in his life. He didn't feel the weight anymore of the presence of God. 2 Samuel 6, 6 to 7 says, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Hosea reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Hosea because of this irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there before the ark of God. Hosea died because he touched the ark in a way that he shouldn't. He disobeyed God's instructions. But that one action wasn't actually his downfall. It started in his heart. It started in his comfortableness towards the presence of God. Because the presence sat in his house for so long, that familiarity led to being comfortable, and that led to him viewing wrong what always should be viewed as sacred. Sometimes we can be the same. I know I can. We want the blessings. We want the fruit. We want the fruits of being in the presence and near the presence, but then we get comfortable when we're around church and his presence so much that we forget. That's actually an honor to stand here in a place just like this, to praise his name, to worship the King of Kings, and to stand and sit amongst the presence of God. It is an honor to do that. It's an honor that we get to raise our hands and praise the King. His presence, God's presence, is meant to be carried by each and every single one of us wherever we go. Pastor Shane can't carry it all for us. Your wife or your husband can't carry it for you. Your parents can't carry it for you. We need to carry the presence and let it be reflected in our praise for the King. Let it be reflected in our praise for the King. David Guzik says in the Enduring Word commentary, which I absolutely love, it says, Hosea thought it didn't matter who carried the ark. Hosea thought it didn't matter how the ark was carried. Hosea thought that he knew all about the ark because it was in his father's house for so long. I'm just going to replace the word ark with presence to apply to our context. Hosea thought it didn't matter who carried the presence. Hosea thought it didn't matter how the presence was carried. And Hosea thought he knew all about the presence because he's been in church for such a long time. His heart was already in the wrong place for praise because he didn't feel the weight. His praise had no power because it had the wrong purpose. And so was David's, because it was David's orders that let them put on wheels what they were meant to carry. Church, in our life, true praise starts in our hearts before it comes out of our mouth. True praise starts in our conviction in God's presence. True praise starts with our reverence of what the presence brings. And true praise starts with a posture that when we come into this place, as soon as we walk through these doors, we know that we aren't praising anyone else but the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, and the Lord of Lords. That's who we're praising. When we carry the weight of the presence in our own life, then we will praise him even in the bad times. Even when nothing is moving in our life, we aren't seeing that breakthrough. And we do that because praise is not about what I can get. Praise is about me not being able to forget who God is. When you carry something, you never forget that it's there, right? When you carry it, you don't forget that you have it. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. I thank God that we didn't have to follow all of those rules that Hosea had to follow to carry the ark. But yet we have a gift from Jesus, that he came to this earth, lived amongst us, died for us, rose again, and gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit and the presence to live inside of us. And what an honor and what a weight. And how amazing that is, and how freeing that is, to have the Spirit within us, to carry that with us. But let's not praise God in our spiritual sweatpants. Let's not get comfortable in the presence. And this is what David discovered through his victories, through him conquering Jerusalem, being crowned king. He became comfortable in the presence of God, and his legacy in praise in that moment was actually hurting those around him. David realizes what he has done wrong. He becomes afraid and unable to deal with this crisis of faith. And like I said, just drops it at Obed's house. But he discovers from Obed that there is a pattern to praise. It's our second point. There is a pattern to praise. Because Obed isn't just an ordinary man. He knows how to carry the presence of God. He knows how to praise God. It says in the 3 months that the ark was at Obed's house, it blessed him and his entire household. That sounds like to me a man who knows the power of God, right? King David saw from Obed the way the presence was meant to be carried. David saw the pattern of Obed's praise and he realized how he should be praising God himself. He saw what it looks like for praise to have power. He saw what it looks like for praise to have legacy. And that changed his own perspective and gave him a revelation because of Obed's pattern. Because of Obed's pattern and what David saw, David understood what he needed to do in his own life. Now, I just want to talk to all the young adults in a second, right now. I'm 26 years old, so I'm a young adult, so I can talk to you right now. Put your hand up if you're between 18, and I'm not going to put an age limit on young adult. If you just feel young at heart, put your hand up if you're a young adult in this place. But I just want to speak to all the young adults, is that we think we know more than we do. Praise God. We think we know more than we do. We think that this time in our life, we think that this context of the world that we are in right now, that we are the only generation that has dealt with problems, that has dealt with questions about God, that has dealt with doubts about God, that has dealt with all these things that are happening right now. We think we're the first generation to go through this stuff. But the generation before us don't understand what is happening right now because John Kosick has never gone through anything in his life. So, but the generation before us. But our context might be different. Our questions might be different. Our doubts might look different, but the pattern is the same. The pattern is the same. Those who have gone before us, our spiritual fathers and mothers have gone through times of doubts, times of trials, times of hardship in life, had their own questions about God and faith, but also through that have testimonies of God's faithfulness, have testimonies of God's goodness, have testimonies of God's blessing in miraculous ways. And for all young adults, we need to be seeing their pattern of praise and applying it to our own lives. Because David saw the pattern of praise of Obed. He saw that pattern of praise, and this then gave him a revelation and the confidence to pick up the presence again and praise God again. It was through the pattern of praise of those around him where he gained his new revelation of how to walk out his own faith. And I encourage you, if you're discouraged in this place, if you have doubts, if you have questions, if you have things that you are going through, look to the pattern of praise of those who have gone before you. Look around of how people praise God over years and years and years in their life and see God's goodness through staying true to the faith and true to the word of God, because God's promises never return void. The answer to our questions is seeing the pattern of others. An example of this in my life is the incredible Argy and Annie. I remember 7 years ago when I first came to Enjoy Church, Annie and Argy were telling me, actually just up the back there, about this amazing story where they heard Pastor Shane preaching about marching around the walls of Jericho and seeing, you know, the walls fall down in your life. You got to march around those walls. And what they did is that they were actually believing for a very particular property at a time in a suburb where they wanted to live. And they had this exact property on a corner block. And what they did after that message, Arjun and Annie would tell me this, they drove down to that property and they got out of their car and started walking around the block to claim it. Well, actually, Arjun tells me he was too scared and stayed in the car. They said they could tell this story. And Annie marched around. Which I love that. I love that. But the incredible thing is that God gave them that property. What they claimed in faith, what they stepped out of their comfort zone and did, God gave them. God gave them. Fast forward a few years, myself and Em get this prophetic word from this preacher that we're gonna own a house one day. And I'm like, oh yeah, cool, great. You know, maybe in a few years, you know, maybe 20 years or something like that. Have you seen my bank account, God? Praying. But then we really stir in our spirit a couple of months after that word. No, we should actually be believing for this. We should actually be claiming this. If this is a word and promise that God has given us, we should do this. And we prayed about it and we felt God give us, you know, a very certain suburb we want to live in, a certain house type, you know, different things in that house. But we obviously had our budget. So we're walking around these display villages, you know, going into all these places, looking for land, looking for builders. And I'm not joking. We would literally be laughed at when we told them, hey, we want to live here, but this is how much we have. Time and time again, we would be laughed at. And it got to a point where I was pretty sick of being laughed at. And I walked out of one of them. I said, Em, maybe we're just looking in the wrong place. Maybe we should be living in this part. Maybe we should be looking in this estate. But praise God, all the husbands say, praise God for the faith of their wives. Em said, no, we know that this is from God and we're going to see it come to pass in our life. And I remembered in that exact moment, the story that Arjun and Annie told me years before that over there, that they went down and they stepped out of their comfort zone and they marched around the block that they wanted like it was the walls of Jericho. And we walked up and down that street at the Woodley Display Village like it was our Jericho. And I'm not even joking. The very next place we went into, they said, yeah, we got a piece of land right there. And then the very next builder we went into, yep, we can do exactly what you want, the specific colors, style, everything. And God gave us a house exactly what we wanted. Exactly what we wanted. So let us be a church that shares with each other the good things that God has done. Let us be a church that prays and worships the King out of an outpouring of love. And let us be a church that watches the patterns of praise of those who have gone before us. Listen to the stories of faith of those in our church. I look around and see so many patterns of how to live a godly life. Pastor Mish and Ian, Pastor Christian and Lisa, Pastor Tony and Monica, especially Pastor Shane and George, in everything that they do, I know the incredible stories of God's faithfulness and goodness. To follow the patterns of those who have gone before us, just like David did with Obed, we need to watch the way they praise in the presence. We need to watch the way that they worship. We need to watch the way they lift their hands and give honor to the King for no other reason than that the King must be praised. The King must be praised. That is the pattern that we need to follow. David saw the pattern of Obed's praise and he knew what he had to do. He knew the pattern he had to follow and then through that, see his new revelation that there is power in praise. Everyone say power, power. In praise. Point three, there is power in praise. 2 Samuel 6:13 to 16 says, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. We see David step out with the ark. He tries again, but this time with everything in its proper order, following the rules and praising the right way. He knew the pattern that he had to follow. He knew how to carry the presence. He knew how to praise God now with a pure heart. And in doing this, there was an outpouring of joy in his life. David danced before the Lord with all of his might because his praise was now just an outpouring of joy towards God. For no other reason than that God was king. For no other reason than that God was good. For no other reason than that God was faithful. Not for anything that God had done for David, but just an outpouring of joy that he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. Now this was different to the first time. You see, the first time, when before Isaiah got killed, that David, it literally says, he was celebrating, not praising. David was celebrating what David had done. David was celebrating that they just won the war. They were celebrating that they just defeated the Philistines. But he saw through Obed what it meant to praise the king. He saw through Obed what it meant to be in the presence of God, not dependent on his circumstance. Obed's legacy through his praise was that his family was blessed. Then through that outpouring, David was then blessed because he saw the pattern of how Obed lived his life. Then because of David's praise, the whole nation of Israel was blessed by God. The praise of one man, Obed in his house, just praising God in his house, flowed to David, which then flowed to the entire nation of Israel. And we see that in verse 18. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. The whole nation was blessed. Church, there is power in our praise. There is power in our praise. I just want to invite you all to stand. Because in a moment, we're going to sing that worship song again. Because there is power in our praise. For no other reason, but because God is King, because God is faithful, because He is the Lord of Lords. And what David learned from Obed is that all Obed did was just praise God the correct way. He just praised God with a pure heart. And the outpouring of that blessing that God gave Obed flowed onto David. What David saw in the example of Obed literally changed his life. In January 2022, start of last year, myself and Em, my wife, we got COVID like a lot of us did around that time. And in the months after that, I recovered. But in the months after that, Em was just constantly sick. One thing after another. The flu multiple times, would get a little bit better than the flu again. Then ended up with pneumonia a couple months later. That in July 2022, she collapsed in the car park. We're just out shopping at High Point. She collapses in the car park, not breathing. The ambos are grabbing the defibs, all that stuff. She goes to hospital. And the doctors are doing test after test. Keep testing for all these things. What's going on? What's going on? Not knowing what is wrong. And the doctors say that her body just gave up on her, which resulted in finally being diagnosed with long COVID and chronic fatigue. And they had no treatment, no medication for it, and a timeline of recovery from started off 6 months and 2 years and went to 5 years. And what it does, if you don't know, is that it just saps all of your energy all the time. No matter how much you rest, you can't do anything. You're just constantly fatigued. You can't get out of bed. You can't go to work. Can't even hang out with your friends or family. Can't even get up to just go grab a coffee with a friend. Her mind and her faith, of course, were still there, but her body was just constantly letting her down. She couldn't do anything. And I just want to share what was happening from a husband's perspective, because as probably all husbands in the room can connect with, is that when your wife's going through something, you're full of faith, right? You're believing for healing. You're believing for breakthrough, much sooner than the doctors say. Coming into church every Sunday, praising God, coming down the front for prayer, believing for my wife to be healed. And I'm telling you that after the months went by and nothing changed, got to the point where I started getting frustrated about why I was the one who was able to come into church. Why I was the one who was able to hang out with my friends and my family and all of you here, but yet my wife was stuck at home. Why wasn't anything changing? My prayers turned into questions and my praise turned into just frustration. And in one moment, during a Sunday, sitting right down there, thinking about all these questions, being frustrated with God about why I haven't seen healing yet in my wife, I look ahead of me and my brother F.A. is here just dancing for joy to the Lord as he does every single Sunday. And F.A.'s in my Empire team. And I know what's going on in his life. Yet he's down here every Sunday just praising the King for no other reason that he is the King. I look behind me and there's Pastor Mish worshiping God like she does every single Sunday. And I know not every week is incredible in your life as well. But yet Pastor Mish every Sunday walks into this place and just praises God and worships God for no other reason than he must be praised. Then straight out, I looked across, I saw Pastor Christian doing the same. Pastor Tony doing the same. So many faithful men and women in this house just praising God, not because of what they get from him, not because of what they can try to receive from him, but just because God must be praised because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And praise God, my wife is so far ahead of what the doctors say in her walking out in this. And God is doing such an incredible walk in her life as she walks this out. But the praise of those around me, just like Obed, literally poured out from them. I'm sure they've received miracles in their life. But the joy that God poured out onto them then flowed onto me in that moment. And my perspective in praise changed like that. My perspective on why we praise changed like that. That's not based on what we get from God, but we just need to praise God because He is the King. And this verse popped into my heart in that one moment. Psalm 150 verse 6, which David wrote himself. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So church, we're going to sing this song again. We're going to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord Almighty. And I just want to invite you, in whatever you're going through in this place, whatever you're believing for, whatever healing that you want to see, whatever prayer that you've been praying for years and years and years and have yet to see God move, pray that prayer again. Give Him your prayers again. Give Him what you're struggling with again. But then as we praise, turn your perspective away from that just for a moment and just praise God because He's the King.